This is the Don and Mike Show. Would you like to participate in a Don and Mike Show contest? Well, then how about this? You or a member of your household can only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations and restrictions for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamped envelope to the Don and Mike Show, 10800 Main Street, Fairfax, Virginia, 22030. Isn't that something? Thank you, and God bless.
Hi. Welcome to our show.
You're on the air. There you go. Hello.
Hello.
How are you? How are you doing, pal?
I'm fine. How are you? I just wanted to say
yes.
That the Meow Mix commercial that you played
yes.
That said Meow Mix came in three flavors.
Mm.
I think they were full of black because no matter what you did, it always needed salt anyway. I don't care what kind of flavor it was. I used to make Mike O'Mara stand on his head and I would eat it with a spoon off of his taint. And still, it wouldn't help.
Get tuned to WDA. That's why I love my message so much.
Call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
That guy, he likes you, Mike. He is
what,
fascinated.
Gay?
He is fascinated with my nether regions.
What, are you gay?
Odd, man. Bet you wish your girlfriend was hot like me.
Right.
Yeah, I'm totally gay for you.
Hi, Joe.
Hi.
Oh, that's good.
So good.
Howdy, Ed.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, here's Don and Mike.
Thank you, Big Ed.
Yeah.
Whether Elvis singing in the background. Don and Mike show on a stinking Monday. Our phone number, same as it was on Friday. 877-365-3636. First thing I'd like to say is the Grammys blow dead bear.
Hoist.
Second, let's get ready for the impending end of the world.
Yes, here, yes.
Why get the weather guy on the phone? Why listen to the forecasts? Somebody on our staff with half a brain in their head actually today monitored Channel 9, Channel 4, and the National Weather Service here in D.C.
Now, they've monitored them. Have they come up with a combo average of all three, or consensus. Have they just recorded what,
Mike,
all three were saying?
Listen and learn.
Listen to learn.
Always.
The National Weather Forecast says chance of new snow accumulation less than 1 inch.
Uh-huh.
That's all they say. Chance of new snow less than 1 inch today. Tuesday, periods of snow and sleet. New snow accumulation less than 1 inch.
They don't mention anything about ice?
They do not.
All
that's
right.
The National Weather Service.
Well, that's not very satisfying.
Now here is Channel 9. Snow changes to sleet and freezing rain Tuesday.
I'll plot that, Rob.
Snow and sleet accumulations will be 1 to 3 inches. Icing from freezing rain is the main concern. And then we go to Channel 4.
Right, I like Channel 9 so far.
Uh-huh. Channel 4 says 4 to 6 inches of snow.
Yeah.
The precipitation will begin as snow, but it will then turn into a mix of snow, sleet, and freezing rain at times Tuesday.
Remix.
This is why we as a society are confused by our weathermen.
It's gray outside our studios here in beautiful Rockville, Maryland.
But it's almost 50. So you have the National Weather Service now saying, don't worry about it. You're going to get maybe an inch of snow. You've got Channel 9 saying snow and sleet, 1 to 3 inches, but, oops, by Elvis. Snow and sleet, 1 to 3 inches, but ice watch for that.
Ice,
and then
maybe.
Channel 4 says, don't worry about ice. It's 4 to 6 inches of snow.
Right.
Now, you issued a prediction on Thursday last of a significant winter event on Tuesday. Where do you stand now?
No. I think he predicted a snowstorm.
Well, winter event.
I don't. You're talking like a forecast.
No, Rob, call it like it is. Uh-huh. I said
a significant winter event.
You didn't think that was
funny? We
rail
against these guys.
You didn't think that was
funny?
Oh, I
don't
think
that is trying to be funny.
That is the whatnot of the weatherman's vernacular.
Okay. And let me rephrase.
Is a significant winter event the whatnot, or is wintry mix the whatnot?
No, rain snow line is.
No,
they could be all three.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is kind of a catch-all for whatnot, isn't it?
It really is. I think you've got wintry mix, rain, snow line, mm-hmm. and winter event.
Yes.
Winter event is
vague.
That's the vaguest.
Well, you did predict snow, so where do you stand now?
I'm a dumb DJ. I'm not a weather guy. I watched the Weather Channel last week where they said tomorrow in D.C., 7 days ago, the forecast said heavy snow.
Wow.
So that's what I'm going to stick with is heavy snow.
Heavy snow. Would you like to give a prediction of inches?
I'd say upwards of 6.
Upwards of 6. So anywhere from, I will take that as anywhere from 4 to 6 inches of snow.
I'd say upwards of 6. But again, what do I know? You might as well believe me as much as you believe one of these schmucks on TV.
Do you agree that I still think they don't know yet?
Oh, of course they
don't. They have no idea. Because this thing can get to us and it can take a right turn or a left turn.
Right.
And if it takes a right turn and goes off the coast, it's going to be big time snow.
Rain, snow line.
Takes a left turn, it might be all rain. Uh-huh. If it goes right over us, that's what they're saying we're going to get the big icing event.
Yeah, and that's the panic mode that they're trying to get us worked up on right now is the ice.
Yeah, because they want to make sure we tune in to the next forecast.
Sure.
That's what they're all about.
Let me just hip everyone around the country to how paranoid people here are in your nation's capital about weather. Last night, when they were predicting that the storm, whatever it is, on Sunday night, they're predicting the storm is going to get here on Monday night.
Right.
As it turns out now, they've pushed that back to Tuesday. But last night, they were saying the storm is going to start tonight. So last night, they said on Channel 5 News, and because of the impending storm, we'll be on tomorrow morning, Monday morning,
what time?
At 4:30 a.m.
Perfect.
Wow. Now, keep in mind, if their original forecast, which was wrong, had been true, the bad weather would not be arriving until 10 hours from right now.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yet they were on this morning at 4:30 a.m. when there was no weather anywhere.
Sure, because they care.
Well, you know, I spent the weekend with my 11-year-old and my 9-year-old, and I saw the many moods because if adults get into a lather about the kids go nuts.
Yeah.
Because the kids are told Wednesday of last week that we're probably going to have a big blizzard.
Mm-hmm.
I got emails from their school that are already saying, hey, depending on what the weather's, right. so you know the teachers are feeling the same way. Yeah. And then as it gets closer and closer, as soon as the rain word was mentioned, long faces abounded.
Broken hearts.
But I said, kids, fear not. You know when they're going to know? They're going to know about halfway through when we're in the middle of it. They're going to know when the flakes are flying or when the rain is coming down. That's when they're going to know what's going on.
I get this feeling generally of the weather forecasters. If it was like the over-under in Las Vegas, I would always bet the under because they're always wrong.
Yeah.
Because
they really are always wrong.
Because they're so afraid that they've put so much pressure on themselves, even though they won't acknowledge it when they're right or wrong.
Got all that equipment.
What they've got to do is run the gamut to say, well, it could be rain or snow or it could be a foot.
Uh-huh.
You know? Who knows?
Doug Hill that came on this show one time and said, we really don't know more than 24 hours out.
Yep.
You know what they're proving now? That even 24 hours out, when it's a storm like this, they don't know. And they always talk about how hard it is to predict
it's so hard around here. So hard.
And, you know, isn't it hard everywhere?
I
guess it's not hard if you're a weatherman in upstate New York. You just go, hey, forget it. I'm taking the rest of the week off.
No, Mike, you've heard the talk at the TV meteorologist convention.
Yep.
They all say, what's the toughest market to work? Is it Tornado Alley? Is it down in Louisiana with all the bad weather down there? Is it out where you've got the mudslides? No. Washington, D.C. They're always on the rain snow line.
Always. And I guess that's what we've got going here. I mean, I have heard anything from this could be a significant amount of rain. This could really miss us altogether to, you know, hey, if you're up around the Pennsylvania border, this is so funny. But I guess taking it all into account, everything you just read there is.
They don't know.
We're not going to get. Well, you read one that said we're going to get.
Yeah, that was Channel 4.
Anybody's guess.
You know what they were coming on TV with this morning was, now remember, in 1985, 86, something, there was a Valentine's Day blizzard.
Yes.
Where we got 23 inches of snow.
Yeah.
Yes, that
happened. And all the flakes were in the shape of hearts.
Yes.
That was so nice. That was
that
funny,
did
it?
Happen.
Yep.
22 years ago, but it doesn't mean it's going to happen on Wednesday.
I remember a blizzard during the Super Bowl a few years back in this town. It was, I don't know what year it was. Might have been 80, was it 86?
Mike, there were two great blizzards, and there were two great Don and Mike show memories with both of them. Let's go down memory lane. First, There was the blizzard where D.C. got shut down. Mm-hmm. The Redskins were in California for a Super Bowl, and we called, long before the FCC liked screwing with our show, we called Mayor for Life, Marion Barry, in his room and woke him up.
Asked him why he wasn't here.
And asked him if he was wearing his big, floppy Redskins foam rubber hat.
And I never understood that, being a Redskins fan with your arch rivals being from Texas,
right.
Why the mascot, the mayor's mascot hat was a cowboy hat. It just didn't seem right to me that having your arch rivals, a team named the Cowboys, why you would wear an oversized styrofoam Redskins burgundy, you know, hat.
It looks good in it. That's why.
Everybody looks good in a hockey hat.
One of his rare mistakes.
Horse hockey. When I say everybody looks good in a hockey hat, everyone looks good in a cowboy hat.
Horse hockey. Everybody looks good in a cowboy hat.
All right. Then during the second blizzard, the one of 1980 something. We were on the air that morning, and we had a wonderful one-hour conversation with Mr. Bill Joel, who was in town for a concert that was snowed out, and because he had nothing else to do, they had, like, a phoner thing set up with him.
Right.
And we ended up, like, just chatting with Billy Joel for an hour.
Cool. Bill Joel.
Because he had nothing else to do.
Very nice Bill Joel.
Willing.
So unless something really great happens on the show, I don't think we're going to get a blizzard.
Okay.
But you are calling for 4 to 6 inches.
Over six, Mike.
Over six.
Way to go.
What the hell?
No one's doing that, so you're you're alone.
Sure.
Just think if you can get one of those promos again. You know, if it is over 6 inches,
you call
only me. One meteorologist.
So, let's not get Topper shut on the phone now or anything. Okay. With the
I don't think we
the
should
air.
Bother Topper.
Too early. Yeah.
Let's wait until tomorrow, until it's all rain, and then we can yell at them about the hype that they're getting us into.
Exactly.
Or we can come in and scream about how we got an ice storm and they didn't warn us about it.
Uh-huh. Or we can talk about how we slid into work. It'll be great.
Uh-huh. Or we can come in and complain about how we got a foot of snow and that they really only told us we were going to get 2 inches. For you see, we're as bad as they are.
Sure.
We get as excited as anybody else.
And by we, I mean people. You know, yes. You hear about the weather, and then when it's not bad, you complain about it. And if it's not exactly what they ordered up, you complain about it.
You've got people in D.C. in horrible moods today.
Really?
People are so, because they hedged it. And then when they came out and they said, hey, it's really not going to be that bad. It might be an ice event, and nobody likes an ice event.
Nobody likes that. I called Janet on the way into work today. I said, what's happening? And she said, the grocery stores. My God.
Yeah, sure.
I said, what's the deal? She said, we had to get dog food. And she said there had to be 15 people in line in the express line. I said, what were they getting? Staples, of course. Mm-hmm. Bread, milk, toilet paper.
I was in the grocery store getting a roast for yesterday for my dinner for last night. Mm-hmm. And half the bread was already gone.
At 6 o'clock last night, they had 4 or 5 check stands open at our Safeway,
mm-hmm.
and the lines were so long they ceased to be lines.
Mm-hmm.
They just all sort of merged together.
Let's take a little note there. Did you know this because you were there?
No, I sent Carrie out for
dinner. Carrie was there. Your wife was there.
Mm-hmm.
Your girlfriend was there.
Yeah.
I was there. I think subconsciously, probably all the people mentioned, we really didn't need to go.
No.
I could have found something even for dinner last night.
Unnecessary.
But we went, I think, subconsciously.
I think
we want to go there.
I think, to be fair, I think she just got dog food.
That's significant, if she just got dog food.
If you're out.
Beer.
Beer.
Needed it.
Beer.
Needed it. Needed it bad.
So that's a regular trip for her.
Staple.
Twice a day.
Beer food.
Mm-hmm.
Beer food.
Beer
get me
food.
Some bottled, that's bottled bread.
All right, well, either way, we'll bitch about whatever the weather is.
Of course.
If only they give it to us straight. Maybe we wouldn't bitch quite so much.
If we get over 6 inches of snow, I'm not going to bitch. I'm going to be celebrating
Ecstatic.
It. I'm going to call you and say thank you.
There you go.
I'll call you tomorrow. If it's piling up outside my window, I'm going to call you tomorrow and say thank you.
Let me say by the end of the storm, Mike.
Of course. That's fair.
No, on Tuesday. On Tuesday.
Don't you be hedging
I'm
now.
I'm not hedging.
Don't you be hedging now,
I promise
man.
You, no, I'm not hedging. What a fantastic weekend I had. I like coming in and telling you when I have bad weekends, but occasionally I have such a nice weekend. Everything worked out so wonderful. Went to Ocean City this weekend with my girlfriend, and first off, she's not the breaker. She's the fixer. She was the breaker, and now she's become the fixer.
Well, that's good.
Because, like, with the computer at the beach, I was positive she fried that somehow, and I was positive she had something to do with our computer system at home going down, even though it was me trying to load Vista into that thing.
Right.
Turns out, over the weekend, not only did she fix the computers at the beach, she fixed the computers at home,
right.
Brought the iPod back to life,
hey.
And if she just doesn't have the heart of a champion, you know, she doesn't know Frida, obviously.
Right.
But I find it incredible that she has such a wonderful heart that when we go to Ocean City, she spends a lot of time with Big Frida. Because she truly likes Big Frida, and Big Frida likes her. And that makes me happy that they get along together.
Right.
So we had a real nice visit with Big Frida, and we went to this Ruth Chris Steakhouse that just opened up in Ocean City. And they came by the table at one point, the waiter and waitress, and said, you know, out of everyone in this restaurant, you appear to be having the best time out of everybody.
Wow.
And, of course, because I was gregarious and having a good time.
Mm-hmm.
And at one point, she gets up to leave to go to the John. And I'm sitting at the table by myself, crowded restaurant on Saturday night, steakhouse. And I reached down on my jeans, and I saw that I had something that I've always referred to as a chigger. These are these little, they're like little sticky, thorny things.
Okay.
When you walk down,
when you walk down by
the shore,
oh,
in the weeds with your dog, as we do, we walk our dogs down on the beach because that's the type of guy I am, ladies.
Right.
You get these little sticky. They're these.
A plant, not animal, right?
Yeah, absolutely, so, absolutely.
Plant. See, a chigger sounds like a.
That's an insect.
A
live
thing.
An insect.
Well, I have always referred to these things as chiggers because they're like these little sticky.
I call them a burr. My dog used to get them.
Right.
When
my
dog would get away, get out of the yard, he'd come back, he'd have hundreds of them just all buried into his fur.
Is it brown and it has like stickies all around it?
Yes.
It has little prickers coming
off.
Yeah,
a cockle burr is what I think is the
regionality. A cockle burr.
Cockle burr. Burr.
Burr for short.
I thought it was a chigger.
That's a pretty good DJ name, though. Cockle burr with you.
So I'm in the restaurant, and she gets up to go to the bathroom, and we've been loud enough, not obnoxiously loud, but like the only happy, alive people in the cemetery of a restaurant that we were in Saturday night. So, and she went to the bathroom, and I leaned back, and I started picking a couple of these things off my pants, and I turned to the guy at the table next to me, and I said, chiggers. And
oh, Jesus. So now the guy at the table next to you believes that you're infested.
No, he thought I said something else.
Yes. Oh, no.
Yeah. He thought I said something else.
Yeah.
He just kind of looked at me.
Sure.
The guy was just sitting at one table away, as he and his wife. And they, you know, they've been eavesdropping most of the night on us as we
had. So it was a quiet couple that decided that's always a little frustrating.
Which is why I felt when Janet got up to leave that I could just look at the guy because I was picking these things off the bottom of my jeans. And I went, chiggers.
Those darn chiggers.
And then he looked at me and I was like, chiggers, they're everywhere.
Oh,
and then I turn and I see like two black guys sitting at a table now.
Oh, dear.
They couldn't have heard anything.
Right.
Hopefully not.
Too far away.
Right.
Restaurant's too loud.
Yes.
But immediately that's all I thought because I look at them.
You thought maybe you'd said it a little loud.
I look at them.
And it had been misinterpreted.
Then I looked back over at Mr. Ocean City over here.
Yeah.
Who's looking at me like.
Is he just giving you the hairy eyeball?
Like you. And because I was just in that mode.
Yeah.
I reached down on my pants like, I go, see? Chiggers. And the guy said, have a good night.
Oh, God.
Put his hand up in the air like.
Oh, that, it's like, please stop talking
like
to me.
Like he was a traffic cop.
Say no more.
Yeah. Have a good night. Have a good night.
Yeah.
So she came back to the table, and I said to her, why is it that people feel the need to chat with me? And she said, what do you mean? And I told her that story, and then she pointed out, and accurately so, that I guess I had really initiated.
You'd have the need to chat with
the
him.
Conversation.
You did.
But just moments before, we had been in the Walmart, because, again, that's the type of fabulous date that I am. We go to Walmart before we go to the steakhouse.
Sure.
When we were in Walmart, she was going to. You know the move when you get to Walmart with your chick, where it's like, okay.
Well, when you go to a nice steakhouse, you always want to have something nice, new and nice to wear.
Yes.
You get to Walmart with your chick, and at one point, if you don't watch it, she'll make you go up and down every single aisle with her. So you say, I'm gonna be like here at Xbox. I'm gonna be here at the book aisle. I'll meet you back in 10 minutes. So we had reached that point. We had gone like up or down three aisles, and I said, I'm just going to hang out here at the magazine aisle. Come find me when you're done. Mm-hmm. Now, there's a black guy, speaking of, standing next to me. Mm-hmm. This guy don't know me from Adam,
right.
Doesn't know me as a disc jockey, doesn't know me as anything except
right.
a human being.
Okay.
Janet was standing right there. She started to walk away. the guy picked up a copy of Cosmo and looked at the beautiful woman and turned to me and said, can you imagine? Do you think she looks like this in the morning? Do you think that there's that's a funny. Chance she looks like this in the morning?
Yeah.
And I said, probably not. And he looked at me and he said, ain't that something? Then he put the magazine back and he said, what do you think she looks like in the morning?
That's
and
funny.
By this time, Janet is pushing the cart away, uh-huh. and I said to the guy, I really don't know. Nice talking to you. And I ran behind her, and I said, am I giving off a vibe that says talk to me? Mm-hmm. And she said, well, maybe, kind of. You're standing there in a friendly way. You make eye contact with people. Mm-hmm. I said, well, I want to give off the vibe that says don't talk to me. I've been very good at giving off that vibe my entire life. What's happening now to me? And she said, I don't know. Let's go through the rest of the day and really try not to talk to anybody. I said, no problem. That's like my mantra to get through every single day.
Right.
Don't talk to anybody. Well, Saturday alone, not counting people that you have to talk to, like when you someone opens a door or you say the rest of them, five other people talked to me.
Really?
Stop talking to me, everybody.
You think everybody was in that... Wasn't that before the forecasters had come out with the hedge on the rain? Perhaps everybody was in that euphoria. You know, people get excited. It's like Christmas Eve. It's why I do a lot of shopping on Christmas Eve. Everybody's in a good mood. Everybody's in a good mood.
She said that she thought it's because people could sense on my good mood. And then I said, well, what's the point of being in a good mood if it just means that strangers are going to come up and want to talk to you about, do you think this woman looks like this in the morning or not?
Right.
And she said, well, that's really just the wrong attitude to
have.
He
was probably bored.
Were you in a costume of any sort?
nothing outside of my normal costume.
All right, the costume of Don?
Yeah, that's the Packer costume, that's all.
Okay.
You know, and
maybe that's it.
There were two other people that did stop to me, and I do count this as talking to me when someone will come up to me. Like, for instance, yesterday, if I have on a Green Bay Packers jacket, uh-huh. and a Green Bay Packers baseball hat.
Right.
They'll say to me, I guess you must really like the Packers.
Do you ever get the opposite? Because if I saw that, I would walk up to you and go, hey, Vikings fan, huh?
Yeah.
See, now, maybe that
you'd
would
enjoy that.
Maybe
right?
that would be the type of person I'd like to chat with.
Because that would be what I would say. But people do, you've said this before, that people do walk up to you and say, Packers fan?
Yeah.
And those are the people you don't want to talk to.
Right.
And I had a guy catch me yesterday. We were out walking on the boardwalk before we went to Pop's Novelty Shop. Pop's Joke Shop.
Yes. Pop's Joke Shop.
Pop's Joke Shop. I actually had on my Packer leather gloves as well.
Oh, my.
And stopped to get a soft drink.
And they're green, aren't they?
Mike, you know, they're beautiful. They're black leather, but with that big, gigantic G on them.
And is the G black or green?
The G is green.
Yeah.
So as I took my gloves off to pay the guy for the beverages for my girlfriend and I, he said, hey, Packers hat, Packers jacket, Packers gloves. Do they make Packers underwear? And my girlfriend said, oh, he wishes they made Packers underwear. I'm like just pulling on her going, no, don't get into this conversation with this guy right now. She says, he's even got on Green Bay Packers socks right now. I said, please don't do this to me. And now this is the guy at Thrasher's French Fries on the boardwalk said, let me see the socks. She's like, come on, this is fun.
Sure.
Okay. All right, this is fun. Right
You're now. Not in your people mode, though.
I go like this. See? Uh-huh. Green Bay, guys.
Same ones, I should point out, ladies and gentlemen, that he's wearing today.
Not different ones,
different
Mike.
Pairs.
Of course, they're different,
different
ones.
Different socks.
They're fresh. You've got, what, 50 pairs?
Different design.
Different design.
Yesterday, I had a gray pair on. Today, I just got standard whites.
You know, I think the appropriate question for you would be, of the white athletic socks that you have in your drawer, how many are not Packer socks?
Zero.
You've got all Packer socks.
I've weeded out everything that doesn't say Packers on
good.
It.
That's, you. You know what? Maybe I'm as much of an idiot as you are, but I find that incredibly impressive.
So every day is a lucky day because I always have lucky
cool.
Packer
that's
socks smart. On.
That is very, very cool.
So I just had a good weekend. I'm sorry I'm just kind of rambling here. A lot of good things happened. One dumb thing that happened was I thought on Sunday I'd get up early and take the cars to the car wash, right? Because we were going to get this inclement weather and what the hell, get all the crap off the cars. Didn't realize it took her car first. Didn't realize as I was sitting in the drive-through car wash thing, when you get out of the car wash, when it's 14 degrees outside,
right.
everything immediately freezes over.
Right. It's amazing the way that works.
So the cars are kind of glazed.
The ice outside of the garage, too, when you shoot it through the garage, that's a little ski slope that turns into.
Yeah, I noticed as I tried to pull into traffic on Coastal Highway that I couldn't see because the rearview mirror was totally crusted with ice, and I'd only been sitting there.
Did they have the guys that were drying?
No, it's one of those robotic things.
Oh, so all automatic?
Automatic.
So some of them have the combination of both, where you go through the wishy-washy, you know, the automatic thing, yeah. And then the guys are...
I should say there was a guy there. I guess this is a guy thing about me. Mm-hmm. There was a helper guy there who generally is there to help people navigate through the touch screen if you want to use a credit card.
That's right. The guy that's hypothermic?
Yeah.
The guy that you see out there that literally, you know, his lips are turning blue?
And I refused his help when he came over by my car. And he may have wanted to tell me, hey, it's going to ice up or I want to wipe down the windows.
Right.
I thought he wanted to help me with the touchscreen. Uh-huh. I was like, my man, got it covered.
Little concern for his help when he was in a tank top.
Got it handled, my man.
Hi, can I help you? How you doing there?
Got all that stuff done, went back home, and then this is where the weekend for me really came together. I never quote Parade magazine on this show.
Because
that's how hip I am.
In life you do, but never on the show.
Never on the show. I'm not even going to get into their article, which is funny reading. The World's Worst Dictator, their annual report, the top 20 dictators.
Okay.
And they move them up and down the list like on a Casey Kasem countdown.
Mr. Blackwell write that?
How'd my guy do?
Which is your guy?
I think you know.
No, Rob, it's current dictators.
Oh,
it's not an all-time list. Not GOAT, not greatest dictator.
I bet Hugo's up there.
Let me
see. Hugo Chavez.
Yeah,
Dictators. Number one is Omar al-Shabir.
Where would he be from?
I don't know, but he was number one last year, too. He's from the Sudan.
Oh, the Sudan, yeah, bad guy.
Then at number two, also last year, number two, Kim Jong-il.
Yeah,
sure.
Here's a big mover. Last year, number nine. And again, I'm reading this on Sunday. This is why I'm laughing at this.
Right.
They're ranking them.
Right.
Last year, number nine.
Uh-huh.
This year, number three.
Ooh.
Sayyid Ali Khamenei,
a real mover,
from Iran.
As the numbers get smaller.
Then you have Hu Jintao from China. He was six last year. He moves up to number four this year.
China, big country.
Showing some initiative.
Let me see. Muammar Gaddafi.
Is he still around?
He moves up from number 11 to number 9 on the countdown.
Oh, maybe he's getting bad again.
Coming back.
And let me see.
And this is in order of evil, right?
Yep.
Like your number one is your most evil dictator.
He's the worst. So they've got this, and it's ridiculous. And I said to Janet, I'm going to bring this in and talk about this. This is such a stupid list. They do it like a countdown. And then I noticed this. You know the first page of the Parade magazine?
Right.
Where they have the retarded personality parade questions?
Yes.
Where they're always something like, Dear Moron.
Walter
right.
Scott. Who is it?
It's Walter Scott's personality.
Dear Walter Scott. I saw Kevin Bacon on TV recently. Isn't there something about him with degrees of separation?
Oh.
You know, they're dumb questions like that.
Right.
Now, this was in yesterday's newspaper, and I will even give them the credit that maybe they put it to print 3 days before the weekend came out.
Sure, right,
at least.
Here are a couple of sample questions before we get to the good one.
Okay.
Now that he has a hit sitcom, according to Jim, does Jim Belushi finally feel free of his late brother John's shadow? Here's the next question. The Stardust in Vegas had a theater name for Wayne Newton. Now that it's closed, what's happened to Wayne Newton?
Hmm.
Here's the next question. Who is the most lucrative contract in baseball? Question number four. What's the latest on Kentucky Derby winner Barbaro, who shattered a leg in the Preakness?
Wow. Oh.
Answer. The fractured right hind leg healed so well he was out of his cast and walking daily. But he developed a condition in his left hind hoof, requiring surgery on January 13th. Since then, his comfort has improved, and he's stable.
Wow. This is this past weekend?
Oh, yesterday's newspaper.
Oh, my God.
Go ahead and read it.
Oh, my God.
I know it's not earth-shattering.
But it's really an oversight.
Yeah, you bet.
I mean, what do you figure? They put this to print on maybe Thursday?
That's what I said. Maybe you give them 3 days lead time.
Right.
How long has it been?
What's the latest on Kentucky Derby winner Barbaro?
Didn't we mourn Barbaro more than we mourned Anna Nicole Smith?
It's been a couple of weeks, for sure.
At least, right? And see the funny list of dictators?
But on the bright side, his condition is stable.
Sunday, February 11th. When did Barbaro check out? This is not right.
Right. That's why I brought it to your attention.
But it gives you a little idea. They're their advanced writing that they do for a parade.
And now I'm even wondering if the dictator list is up to date.
Because, you know, that's a very dynamic list, Buzz. That changes from moment to moment.
It must.
I got one more for you, too, from the newspaper yesterday. This pissed me off, too. This is just the regular section of the newspaper. What was this? This is The Trouble with Love. They might as well just call this Who's the Biggest Bitch?
Right.
These are all women who are just writing about Valentine's Day's gone wrong.
Right.
Out of the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 bitchy letters, I found 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. One of them gets the absolute bitchy of bitchiness. And Barbara O'Mike was put down on January 29th.
Wow.
2 weeks.
Yeah. That is very, very weird. It goes to show you, excuse me, maybe I'll try to say that again. It goes to show you exactly how much time they put in advance into Parade magazine. It's very disappointing.
Meanwhile.
Thought it was a harder news magazine than that.
Meanwhile.
Yeah, I really did.
They've got this. Have you seen these pages in the newspaper?
Yeah,
where,
they make me nauseous.
And now, these are not like the love ads that you buy on the 14th.
No, these are the broken heart ads.
Oh, no, these are not even broken heart ads, Mike. These are stories about Valentine's Day.
Well, a lot of them are negative, though.
Well, they go about 50-50.
Right.
They go about 50-50. And what I tried to do out of the 10 that they printed in the newspaper was find the women who just have the biggest friggin' attitudes.
Okay.
And most of them are local. For instance, this one made me laugh. I was hopelessly in love with a guy in Los Angeles. I offered to cook Valentine's dinner for his best friend who lives in D.C., the problem was the ancient gas oven needed to have its pilot light ignited every time before use. I put a homemade pie in the oven. Nothing happened. A few minutes ago, I remembered the pilot light and struck a match. The blast ignited my eyelashes, eyebrows, and front of my hair. Blah, blah, blah. That's a happy one.
Sure is. Oh, wow.
Here we go. Now we're going to get into the bitchy ones.
Ah.
I spent several weeks planning our dessert.
Okay.
A decadent heart-shaped raspberry chocolate torte.
See, right there. Can I stop you right there? Planning several weeks for a dessert. You got problems right off the bat.
I purchased the freshest ingredients, meticulously followed the recipe, baked the torte to perfection, and masterfully decorated. He spent a couple of minutes buying a chocolate bar and not the specially decorated Valentine's kind at the drugstore. Enough said.
A chocolate bar.
No, she's a bitter.
That's
from
funny.
Tina Juan Sherman of Silver Spring.
But I wonder if it was Ghirardelli.
Hold on.
Or Toblerone.
If it was a Ghirardelli.
Here is a good one.
Ghirardelli.
Ghirardelli. I was born on Valentine's Day.
Oh, good.
And most men crack under the pressure.
Sure.
And I'm sorry to go off.
Now, there's an assumption right there. I wouldn't crack under the
pressure. I am sorry to go off script here. Now, this is a script of this newspaper. Again, the beating that we men are getting through every possible media opening there is, we are being absolutely...
Every single media orifice there is?
Yes. We are being pummeled with these messages that you must go out and you must buy her the perfect gift and you must buy her the perfect diamond and everything must be perfect for her.
Well, what other way are you going to show her you care?
Okay.
Ghirardelli.
There's a better one. Here's one.
Semi-sweet.
I was born on Valentine's Day. Most men simply crack under the pressure. Huh? But at least those men try. I started my 21st Valentine's Day birthday.
Again, and I hate to stop you. I really do. But I have to tell you, that opening sentence that she says, she already has established the fact that she thinks she's more important than she is.
I started my 21st Valentine's birthday by putting together a basket of thoughtful goodies for my boyfriend, excited to get what he had planned for me.
Oh, dear.
I got my answer that evening. Having failed to make any dinner reservations, despite my warnings, he finally found a Chinese restaurant in a strip mall on the outskirts of town.
Yeah, those are the best, really.
He splurged on a single entree for us to split. For dessert, he took me to Ben and Jerry's, where he bartered for a pint of ice cream in exchange for a pizza from his night job. Finally back at my place and eating my romantic dessert out of the carton, he presented me with my gifts, a bag of Jordan almonds, and a pineapple.
Well, that's a good sign.
I love this story.
You bitch.
Is that it? Is that the end of it?
Yeah, she's mad.
A bag of Jordan almonds and a pineapple.
Marilyn Greenwood from Rockville, Maryland.
I love that.
Here's a funny one. Here's one where the guy gets back, but she doesn't know that men are laughing about this. When I was 20 years old, my boyfriend and I were students at the University of Maryland. He cheated on me over the summer and winter breaks with a woman, but swore the fling was over. On Valentine's Day, the University of Maryland newspaper, the Diamondback, published a love note section, and I was hoping, wishing, that he had written a sweet nothing to me. I pored over it. No note, but an unmistakable one to her.
These are good.
He admitted it when confronted. Apparently, he got a newspaper that morning and FedExed it to her. She also got flowers and candy. Nothing for me, though. Only later did I ask myself, why didn't he publish it in her school newspaper? Extra knife in my back!
Ooh!
Yeah.
Ooh!
Hold on a second.
You know what would make that better?
Ghirardelli.
Goes on.
Milk chocolate.
I used to argue with this boyfriend about never giving gifts for any occasion. He promised me he would change. It was Valentine's Day. He came by. We talked for a while. I did not see gifts coming. I kept it cool, telling myself maybe he had a small gift in his pocket. When I could not take it anymore, I gave him his gift and waited for mine. As usual, nothing.
Nothing.
The argument started again, and after some crying and talking about breaking up, surprise, he told me he was dying of cancer, and he needed my help to cope with it. I felt so bad and guilty.
Sure.
He talked about his illness all night long, and we both cried over and over. I was telling him, sweetheart, don't worry about the gifts. That was years ago. This fool is still alive with no illness.
Of course.
You knew that.
I saw that one coming. Yeah. Oh, my God. This Valentine's Day, give her a chocolate bar.
And really, if you wonder why women are the way they are, here's just one last one.
All right. Okay.
And these are bitches who are writing these letters to the newspaper like three weeks before Valentine's Day. They won't let this S go.
That's Nothing's going to be happy this one, so I might as well share my evil story.
We had been dating for nearly a year when he started seeing another woman. His timing for breakup was impeccable. Valentine's Day and 5 days before my birthday. Not only was I hurt, I was angry. To soothe my feelings, I created a personalized Valentine. I drew a picture of him lying on the ground. An elfin man stood next to him, aiming a shovel at his chest and saying...
An elfin man?
Yes, an elfin man stood next to him, aiming a shovel at his chest and screaming... I know there's supposed to be a heart in here somewhere. My only regret was not seeing his expression when he opened this special Valentine.
That's oh, sweet. How bitter. That is how sweet. Sad and bitter. Just and then publishes that, and I hope it makes her feel better, but it's not going to make her feel better.
That's what Valentine's Day is all about for these poor ladies. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't even blame them. They're like us. They get it through every orifice. The you turn program. On the TV, you turn on the radio, you open the newspaper. Goddamn, everything is Valentine's Day, Valentine's Day, Valentine's Day.
You know what, Don?
What, Mike?
It's a crap holiday in a crap month in a crap time of the year. So it's crappy. It's crappy, crappy, crappy.
Oh, yes. Ah, the second week of February.
Let me see. These are all everything in here is from women. Every letter, even the nice ones, are all from women. Yuck. Yeah. Oh, here's one from a guy. What does he say? There's two from guys. My most memorable and embarrassing Valentine's Day had to be 1997. My girlfriend and I had a nice quiet evening. My hopes and wishes for staying up all night came true, not the way I imagined. I spent most of the night in her bathroom. I had to call out to her for help. I was stuck on the toilet, heaving violently into her trash can.
Oh, boy.
Which I held in a death grip between my knees. We got married 10 months later.
Sure.
I now have 3 children. Okay. Unfortunately, whenever the kids have the stomach flu, I get clean-up duty. Paybacks are hell.
Oh.
Ah.
Love is in the air.
Yuck.
Love, love, love.
Please, eat one.
Hey, I'd like to remind all the men in our listening audience that, you know, you've only really got 24 hours. Just 24 hours.
True.
So if you haven't planned anything
Yuck.
For her, you might want to do it.
Yuck.
Beware.
Yuck. And last thing before we hit the break. This has got to be photoshopped, right?
No, apparently that's an outtake from that Vince Vaughn movie.
You're kidding me. If that's the case, this is really a letdown.
Well, I don't know. I don't think so.
Well, I thought they were bigger. Huh? It's Jennifer Aniston topless, and there is a moment in the movie The Breakup where she is naked for like what? This is like a Mr. Skin type
right,
picture.
Right.
And she's holding a can of Diet Coke, and you can see both of her boobs, and there they are. Uh-huh. Very nice areola action. Nice nips.
Uh-huh. I think that's photoshopped.
Yeah. Don't you think her real boobs would be bigger?
I don't think that they would. I don't think this would get out. I don't think that. I think studios have guards against us. I think this is Photoshop.
Well, let's put it on our website anyway.
It's in the movie. If you can freeze frame it, you can screen capture it and print it out.
There is a scene in that movie. Yeah.
And they're saying this is an outtake from the movie?
Director's cut.
In the movie The Breakup, there is a scene where she walks naked.
Right. I know that scene, but I mean, is this really from the director's cut?
I don't. Where did we get it?
We don't know.
You
know, Perez Hilton had it.
Well, no, PerezHilton.com is actually a pretty reputable site.
It's a good
site.
Website, but that's also not coming from a studio. You know, no. It's not like coming from the directors. Are you hoping?
Do you think that the director, when you said from the director, I don't think the director of that movie would sanction that, but...
No, I certainly don't think so.
Yeah, hold it up again. Let me look again.
They're lower than I expected.
Well, I mean, really, I think they're fine
they're
looking.
Fine.
If they're hers, they are fine.
Can I see it again?
For Jennifer Aniston.
Why don't you compare? Where's your compare to your see-through pictures?
Yeah, look it up. Look at how big they are in the topless pictures.
The one in the lower right-hand corner. I think they match up quite nicely.
With this one at the award show.
Yeah.
Where she's wearing a topless. She's braless.
Braless. I think that.
You see here in the studio, I have three pictures of Jennifer Aniston
constantly
kept inside plastic, they don't get messy.
Can I see the naked one again?
The one from the web.
There you go.
The one from the movie.
They really are quite perfect.
Yeah.
But and the ones
look,
in this picture.
Look at the waterfall picture from GQ, and look how big and perky they are.
That looks similar. That looks like if it
hold
was
them
cold.
Both, hold
was...
them both up together. No, so I can see them. Not so you can, Mike. So I can see them, please.
Calm down. Jeez.
Hold on. Whose breasts are they?
They're Jennifer Aniston's, thank you.
Who's always had a thing about Jennifer Aniston's breasts? I have.
Can you see?
I think they match.
I think you're right.
I do, too. They really look similar.
So now,
especially the right one compared to...
Are we going to be in agreement that's not a Photoshop job?
I don't think so. I mean, just based on how similar they look.
What a letdown. Boy, am I glad
why are you disappointed?
You should be happy.
Did you want them bigger?
Yep.
For years, you just wanted them uncovered. Now they're uncovered.
I think if you were standing there, you'd be heartily impressed.
I'm sure I wouldn't kick her out of bed.
And grateful.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey there, Don and Mike.
Howdy.
Hey, just calling in to be the obligatory Mr. Helper. Today is her 38th birthday, so some French magazine posted that picture in their magazine. So that's where it's from.
Who posted it?
A French?
Some French magazine.
It's a magazine called Chalk, C-H-O-C, but I hadn't been to the Champs-Élysées bookstore today, so I had to get it from the web.
She looks pretty fine for 38.
Donna Mike does. Show, hello.
Yeah, if you recall, there was maybe a couple of years ago, there was like a picture of Jennifer Aniston topless on the internet.
If you recall.
Yeah, sorry there. But anyway, like a major lawsuit or whatever.
Travis.
Okay, call us on the inside line. This is Travis, the guy that runs our board at the station.
Travis Nicole Smith calling it.
Bye, Travis. There was a picture of her on the web, but wasn't that photoshopped or?
I think so.
I think it was determined to look alike. Remember there were sunglasses and she was on a beach?
Okay, can I have that back now, Mike?
I thought I got to keep it.
No, you get to look at it.
I always keep these after
the
show.
No, thank you. Thank you. She's mine, okay? You can have.
You just put her boobs down.
You can have any of the other friends you want.
I think they're very, very nice. You just said you're disappointed in them.
I thought they would be spectacular. Based on the see-through wife-beater shirt pictures I have of her under a waterfall.
That's pretty tidy, that picture right
really
there.
Really nothing
if that,
wrong
if
with
that's
that.
A real picture. That you, I don't think, if she was standing here right now.
Actually, they look small. They do.
You, your fantasy life is creating an idealized overextension of her breasts.
That's how big they should be.
Okay. Artist conception.
Hold on.
Okay. Turning her into a Mary Carey now.
No, I'm not.
Well, first of all, you got your size wrong. Do you want one to be bigger than the other?
Come on, I'm doing this freehand.
Yes,
all right,
he does.
Screw that one.
Oh, dear.
You
know what? You got to remember also where the picture's cut off. If you saw the whole thing, you'd probably be very pleased.
Yes, I think so.
I've just drawn more.
I see what you mean.
I've given her about a half an inch
right.
more.
Uh-huh. You've turned her into some sort of freak.
I have not.
Some sort of freak
She's
of nature.
Beautiful. She's beautiful.
She's all real, too, I think.
Jennifer Aniston,
I believe.
Yeah.
She had a septum worked on, but other than that.
What?
And now you're throwing it away. I was going to stare at it for the rest of the show.
I just drew like a tic-tac-toe board on, toe board on her left.
I can see right through it.
Okay, there you go.
Thank you very much.
We must print out one more.
I don't want it.
Well, you don't want it now?
No, it's all crumpled.
Oh, hold
on. I'll uncrumple it.
I'd actually like to see it. You know what I'd like to see it? Look at you just turn that around on yourself. I'd like to see it glossy.
These are the boobs that I drew of Jennifer Aniston, and here's what I would like to do. Oh, Jennifer. Not me. Not me.
Now I really don't want that back. No?
Hello. No. Don and Mike show.
Hey, guys.
Howdy.
Have you ever seen the movie The Good Girl? Jennifer Aniston's, like, topless for about a good, like, 2-3 minutes in that movie.
Didn't we go through this with Mr. Skin when he used to be on the show all
Aren't
the time?
Aren't you talking about The Goodbye Girl? Isn't that Marsha Mason? Well, of course. How about that for taking all the sex out of the room? Just mention Marsha Mason.
Hold on, I got one for you. Who's flatter-chested?
Okay.
Marsha Mason or Kelly Ripa?
Kelly Ripa. Yeah. Kelly Ripa probably win that award.
Probably.
Who's flatter-chested? Hallie Joel Osment, that little boy, or Kelly Ripa?
Kelly Ripa.
Who's flatter chested? Anna Nicole Smith's baby? Or Kelly Ripa?
Kelly Ripa.
Kelly Ripa.
Kelly Ripa.
Kelly Ripa. She's actually, she has indentations.
She had a top on the other day, which was sliding down a little bit, and she does have something there. You can actually see, like, a little fold of skin.
I think
but she kept pulling it up because it really, you know, she's screaming for a little augmentation.
I think that her kids.
I'd love to see her with a breast.
So
job.
Would I. Or she'd have a rocket body, wouldn't
oh,
she?
Oh, my God.
Would she jump millionaire?
Rocket body.
She'd have a rocket body.
Evan Marriott.
All right, we got to hit a break here. We went long, but it's because of the impending weather.
Yeah, that's right. That's our excuse.
Right here on the Don and Mike Show.
Hi, everybody.
Don't forget, when the weather gets bad, we get our panties in a wad about it on the Don and Mike Show.
And if you heard the forecast earlier, it's calling for something.
Lots of something.
Lots of something.
Be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.